All right, Baruch Hashem, it's good to be back. Day late, but it's good to be back. There's always something interesting to talk about after you come back from a trip to America, particularly after you've been at the dinner. The whole dinner experience is very, very powerful and very, very interesting. But for me, the most exciting experience, or the most aggravating experience, or just the most provoking experience that happened to me on this trip actually happened after I landed again here in Tel Aviv on Tuesday afternoon, Hasar B'Teves. And it was after we landed at about 2 o'clock, and you dart out of the airplane and you get through passport control, which in this country goes very, very fast. And I was already all the way through. I had all of my suitcases and I'm getting ready to leave the airport. And I go through, and I, for whatever reason, was chosen to be one of the lucky ones that has to take all of his bags and put it on the machine where, you know, they scan everything to see what's in there. Okay, it doesn't usually happen to me, but no, it's a three-second thing. Put all the bags on there, and they check all of the bags. I'm waiting to recollect my bags after it's going through the machine, and I go to the other side of it, and the guy who told me to put the bags on in the first place pulls out of his pocket this thing and shows it to me. It's a police badge. And he says, may I have your passport, please? I said, okay. He takes my passport, and he says to me, we're checking for drugs. Please take all of your bags and follow me into the next room. Didn't say you're under arrest, but that's more or less what he was saying, because I had to sign the papers afterwards. And me and all of my bags were taken into this room where he said, okay, now we're going to take apart everything that you packed piece by piece by piece, and we're going to see whether you're carrying narcotics. I'm thinking to myself, this guy is mad. Like, what does he want from me? But he puts down everything. He makes me sit down in a chair, and he starts going through my big suitcase and my little suitcase. Now, the most nerve-wracking thing was is that one avreich in the kollel over here had actually given me something to take back for him from Passaic, and he had little pills in there. And they open up a box, and they find these pills. They open up the pill box, and they take out a pill, they grind it up, stick it in some laboratory contraption, and they start testing, they start testing as to whether it's laced with narcotics. I'm sitting there, and I'm sweating, because just, it's an aggravating experience. And the guy says to me, you look like you're lachutz, you look like you're under pressure. I said, yes, I'm under pressure. Why are you under pressure? I said, I'm under pressure because I'm fasting today, and mincha is in an hour and a half, and I want to get home already. He says, well, what's it called? Well, we got to do what we got to do. I said, I don't understand. Why do you have to do this? He says, well, we're checking for drugs. And I just lost it. I said, I don't understand. Do I look like somebody who would be carrying drugs? Leave me alone. I want to go home, right? Bekitzer, I decided that I missed the career because of all the people in the airport. He decided that I look like the most precocious and suspicious person who is a drug pusher. Sinowitz, the drug pusher. I lost the career. What can I tell you? But after having gone through that, and after having gone through the dinner, it did get me thinking about this idea of having lost a career or having a career, because in a certain way, that's very much what this week's parsha is all about, the parsha's Vayechi. And after you go through the Tomo dinner, so it sets it in your mind, and that's what I'd like to talk about today for a couple of minutes as I get grounded over here on my way back. Parshas Vayechi starts with Yaakov Avinu. Vayechi Yaakov b'Eretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana. Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, finally has 17 peaceful years. He has 17 peaceful years where he has Ruach HaKodesh. He doesn't have the trials and tribulations, the torment that he has earlier on in his life. And he's finally able to, relax and enjoy himself a little bit. Think about Yaakov Avinu those last 17 years. I sort of get this picture of, the Rosh Yeshiva sitting up front over there learning with all of his grandchildren. You know, finally you have Menashe, Ephraim, these wonder children who grew up in Mitzrayim and yet had the mentality and the mindset of children who grew up in Yaakov Avinu's house in Eretz Canaan. And he's surrounded by the Shvatim, and finally he's living it up. Vayikrevu Yimei Yisrael Lamus. But the days of Yaakov Avinu come close, he's going to die, and he calls in Menashe and Ephraim, and he says that you're going to be the people who Klal Yisrael will bench their children with. You're the Gullus children. You're the people who are capable of living like a real Jew, even though you're in Gullus, and that's what we need for all of the ages. But the highlight, or really, you know, the central piece of the Parsha is the Birchas Yaakov, the Brachas of Yaakov Avinu, when he gives Brachas to all of the Shvatim. And it's been pointed out many times, the Mashkiach talks about it, if not every year, then almost every year, about the fact that when you go through the Brachas of Yaakov Avinu, they don't really seem very much like Brachas at all, almost as you saying that if this is the brachas that you're going to give, so then you can imagine what his klalas are. The first three, Reuven. What's Reuven? Reuven, b'choriyata, k'ichi, v'resh, esayni, yeser, se'es, v'yeser, oz. Reuven, you're the b'chor. You're supposed to have the malucha. You're supposed to have the kahuna. But pachas kamayim, because of the fact that you're impulsive, you flow like water, al toysak. You're not going to get anything special. No malucha, no kahuna, ki alisa mishkeve avicha, eskilalta yitzu yala, because of what you did with switching the beds, so therefore you lost your rights. That's the bracha of Reuven. What's the bracha of Shimon, Levi? Shimon v'Levi Achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers. Klei chamas mecheres seim. So what they sell, what they push, is klei chamas, stolen weapons. So he has a knack for Levi, he has a knack for Shimon. He splits them up. Achalkem b'Yaakov, Afitzem b'Yisrael. Yehuda goes into a panic. He backs off. And finally, Yaakov Avinu says to Yehuda, Yehuda ata yeducha achecha, that you're the one who they're going to praise. But the question is, if these are brachas, so then what are klalas? The answer that's given, al pi Rashi and al pi the Medrash, is that it's a very, very big yesod in life, that in order for a person to find his bracha, in order for a person to find his calling or his voice, who he is, he first has to know who he's not. So Reuven, he might not be a Kohen. Reuven, he might not be a Melech. But Reuven has his own special potential. And in order to focus on what Reuven is, he has to get out of his head that you're not the Kohen, you're not the Melech. And then you can be the special person that you're supposed to be. Shimon is Melamde Tinoikas. Levi is Shevet Levi. No Shevet Levi. But Shimon and Levi, if they're together, it's a brew that doesn't mix too well. So you have to split them up, and then Shimon can be Shimon and Levi can be Levi. Get away from what you're not, and then you can be who you are. That's the message that you have in the Birchas Yaakov. The horror that I had over here, though, and this is a hisafa on all of the above, is that Lamaisa, though, what do you need it for? It's very interesting. We know that Adam la'amal yulad. The Gemara tells us, Chazal tell us, Adam la'amal yulad. The person is here to work. I was on the plane with the Mashkiach going to America, and I asked him, Rebbe, where are you going for Shabbos? He says, I'm going to Muncie. So I said, Muncie, you know, my high, you know, Mashkiach's from England. Okay, so I was in Passaic, I have family in Passaic, but who's the Mashkiach I have in Muncie? So he said, Adam la'amal yulad, you know, you've got alumni in Muncie, so I'm going there to work. Going there to work. The Yavit says, he has a machlekes of the Rambam in Shemayna Prakim. So you want to know where Kedusha comes from? Kedusha comes from a person working to take himself out of a comfort zone. Doing the right things, taking himself out of the comfort zone, that's what produces Kedusha. And so therefore, I have the following ha'ara. Why is it so important for Reuven, Shimon, Levi, all of the brothers to know who they're not? Let them just work hard at doing the right thing. And even if they don't know who they are, even if they don't know who they're not, as long as they're working very, very hard, so they'll become great people. They'll be Mekadesh themselves. Why is it so important for them to know where to invest their kaychas? Unless what you see from this is that, of course, the Iker Kedusha of transforming a personality is how hard the person works. But just as you have in the mundane world, that if you want to know where to invest, you invest for the greatest potential. It's like that in Ruchnius also. And when a person is put into this world, he has to know what his kaychas are. He has to know what are the things that it's kedai for him to spend his time on and what it's not kedai. And that way he'll be the most productive person that he can be, and that's really what he's doing on this planet. One of the conversations that I had there at the dinner was a very, very close friend of mine, Chashev Talmid Chacham. He deals with end of life issues. That's his one of his specialties. One of the ways that we became very, very close is that when close to 10 years ago started Ner Michal, so we were more or less like partners in crime. He was the guy there in America, and I was here, the guy here in Eretz Yisrael. And it was a very interesting tekufa, because 10 years ago or so, there was a very big stigma. A lot of the yeshiva alumni felt at that point, this is what we were up against, felt that, you know, the way that the yeshiva for sure looks at us is that if we're not clay kodesh, if we're not sitting and learning, so then yeshiva's teres moshe looks at us as, you know, second-class citizens, almost as failures. To the guys in this room right now, that sounds like almost astounding, because, you know, after so many dinners and after all these years of Ner Michal, so it's not only the alumni that feels is like, okay, fine, the Tomo alumnus, he can be anything, doctor, lawyer, businessman, and everything is great. But I think that the message is a message which already resonates in the yeshiva. And the yeshiva is like, the yeshiva is trying to produce Bnei Torah, and as a Ben Torah, you can be anything. But it didn't used to be that way. Sometimes I feel, you know, whatever it is, there were milas and chesrinas in each one of the ways. Used to be 15 years ago, there was much more of a pressure in the yeshiva, you know. You've got to become a Talmud Chacham. You've got to become a Talmud Chacham. If I don't become a Talmud Chacham, then what's going to be with me? On the other hand, it did create a certain pressure that a person wasn't really free to just explore who I am. Where do I really see myself going? And then capitalizing on what my unique strengths and interests and using the Torah to guide me in whichever direction it's natural for me to take. Lemaisa, that is, what's it called? That's the message of the Berachos Yaakov. Every person in this world is born with kaiches, with abilities, and no two are the same. You have people who are very musical. You have people who are very intellectual. You have people who are very creative. You have people who are very athletic. It's the biggest tragedy in life when somebody has a father or even a Rebbe or a Rosh Yeshiva who sort of makes a little mold and says, okay, fine, you know, my son the doctor, my son the Rosh Yeshiva, and he tries to force somebody into that mold, and then you don't have a choice. It creates a lachatz, and you can't find who you are. But if you're in a situation where you're comfortable finding who you are with all of the right hashkafas, with all of the right directions, so then you can sniff it out. The Rosh Yeshiva over the last number of years has been using this terminology. I never heard it before. The people say that it says modern day psychology says that a person has to find himself. He has to unearth himself. He has to find his voice. He has to find his calling. The Torah doesn't believe in that. The Torah believes in creating yourself. So is that a stira to this? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and what are we saying basically? Reuven, you're not a melech. Reuven, you're not a kayin. Shimon and Levi, you have to be apart. So isn't that saying that your calling is not going to be a melech? The answer to that is that it's not a stira. A person does have to create himself, but he also has to locate what's the gold mine in his own personality. And then it's his job to create himself out of that gold mine. But it's a davar pashut. Some people are 7 feet tall, and they can play, you know, whatever. They can play center in the NBA. Other people are 5'4", so they have a different gold mine in their life. You have to create that gold mine, but you have to look at what your natural talent is and find that. How do you know? It's usually very simple. Number one is that a person enjoys using his keiches. If there's something that a person really, really enjoys doing, it's usually pretty much a siman muvik, that as long as it's productive and not destructive, right, then you're getting a geschmack from something else. But if it's a productive thing and you enjoy doing it, it's a siman muvik, that's where your potential lies. Second is if you do it and you find yourself being very, very successful with it, then keep doing it. That's basically what it means for a person to find his voice and his calling, and then to use that and to create himself. That's the Birchas Yaakov. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, all of the brothers, tap into the potential of what you are and don't worry about what you're not. Create yourself from your greatest keiches and make yourself into the biggest person that you could be. And that's how every person is supposed to use Olam Hazeh, making himself into the greatest person that he can become in this lifetime. So this week I had an experience where somebody looked at me and thought that I had the potential to be a great drug pusher. My wife says to me, you know, the reason that they thought that you were a drug pusher, very, very simple. Said, you either have two faces on, you're either just like beaming with a big smile, or you look incredibly lachutz, you look very, very intense. And apparently when you came out of the airport, you were nervous, you wanted to get home, and they saw you look very, very intense, and they thought you were trying to hide something. She's probably right. I don't really think that my potential is as a drug pusher. Everybody has their potential. Mine is some things. Everybody in here has their own potential. But I give everybody a bracha that they have a matzav that's relaxed enough without pressure from other people on the outside to really figure out who you are. And it should always be al pi Torah with the right injections of Torah and Torah hashkafa, learning sugyas, learning musar, finding out the right way of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. And then Be'ezus Hashem, starting from now and from before and from later, so each one of you should be able to grow to your greatest potential, using the simanim of that is geshmak. I see myself growing in this, seeing the results and seeing the peiros of when you're really, really good at something, and then Be'ezus Hashem, to make yourselves and everybody, all Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very proud of you. Have a good Shabbos.